told on, I believe, two occasions since I made it through the door to make myself at home. So if you don't mind, as I settle into the pulpit here, I would like to sing a verse or two of Our God, He is Alive, hymn number 668. And I came in the door doing song practice and was called down front to sing bass. So y'all bear with me as I try to climb up out of the bass range and lead a few verses of this song. I thought I was singing bass until I sat next to Brother Amanzo, and I was quickly reminded of what bass really sounds like. He has a tremendous bass range over there, and I just enjoyed taking notes from him as I sat over there. But let us sing a verse or two of Our God, He is Alive. 668, if you have it, let us sing. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight, and He tempted the skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with His great might. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we serve, and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree alive was willing there to give, that He from sin might set men free and evermore with Him could live. And I know there is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we serve, and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. And there is a God, and He is alive. In Him we you, but it just does my heart good to sing praises to the wonderful and almighty God. He has been truly good to us. I can't say enough about the blessings of God, and I think the psalmist said it best in Psalms 118 and verse number 24. He said, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." I don't know about you, but I'm just glad this evening. I'm very appreciative of this opportunity to stand before you, and I would like to bring you greetings from the Curd Road Church of Christ, as it was stated earlier, where Todd Fitzgerald serves as minister there, and I have been privileged to serve beside him for just under about a year now. I haven't really been keeping track. I've just been enjoying the ride. It's moved me to step a little bit further into my studies, and like I said, I've just been enjoying every minute of it, and God has truly been blessing not only me but my family as well. And I'm going to ask my wife and children to stand briefly so they can be recognized. I'm just proud and blessed that they are here with me. Amen. 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 I've also been blessed by a couple of my members that I've seen, Brother Derek Trent and also Brother Clyde Duffy has come out to support me, and a lot of others wished they could come, but they had obligations there at home. But I'm just thankful for the opportunity. I want to say thank you to this great church here at Hart Street, and also for Brother Powell, who made arrangements to get in contact with Brother Fitzgerald, and he called me and on Friday, and he was excited, and you know, he's always excited, but after he told me what he was excited about, I got excited, you know. But it's just a tremendous opportunity for me. This is my first time leaving home. So again, I am just very appreciative, and I have made myself feel at home. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna make this my water, if that's okay. Okay, I appreciate that, but don't want to dry out on you all, but. Oh, well, thank you very much. I might not want to leave after all this good treatment, but again, it's an honor and a privilege anytime I can stand before the people of God and deliver a message from His Word. I'm just honored and I feel very privileged, and I didn't bring a bio with me. I know Brother Jones asked me for a few details, but you know, I came with the mindset that it's not about me this evening or any other time that I stand in the pulpit. And I understand every intention he had, but it's not about me. It's about God, and it's about God's word. And that's the true reason I am here on this evening. But again, just want to express my thanks. And we're going to step briefly into God's word this evening. I just want to be considerate of your time, and also I know that my daughter is not going to make it too much longer. She had a birthday this weekend, and she had a few friends over, and you know, they did what teenage girls do, stayed up all night giggling and laughing, and I woke up and there was popcorn and DVDs everywhere. But I was glad to see that she enjoyed herself, and so we're not going to be long. I know they have to get home and get ready for school, as I'm sure a lot of your children do, but nevertheless, there is a word from the Lord this evening. If you would, turn with me for a few moments to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to back up to verse 4, and I just appreciate the fine manner in which the scripture was read this evening. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to back up to verse number 4. And Paul is speaking here. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We briefly talked about rejoicing when I mentioned Psalms 118. And the thing about rejoicing, in order to truly rejoice, you got to be able to trust God. Trusting God is something that more and more people nowadays are finding it difficult to do with the way things are going on in society, with jobs being transported overseas and crime is on the rise. You know, they're talking about how much killing has been going on this year amongst our young people. Now, growing up where I grew up on the border of Long Beach and Compton, California, that's not really new to me, but it's not something you ever get used to either. I mean, it's just a troubling thought of thinking about young people killing themselves for no reason. Also, there's illnesses going on everywhere. But when we say that we're going to trust God, we have to be able to do just that. We can't say on one hand that I put my trust in Him, and then on the other hand, we want to continue worrying ourselves to death. And just a little side note here, that's exactly what worrying is going to get you. is going to put you into an early grave. At my job where I work at Centennial Hospital, I had a patient come to me the other day, and she was a nurse herself. And I asked her a little bit about her history and what she was in here for, and she said, I'm having symptoms of having a stroke. And I said, well, is there anything that brought this on? And she flat out told me, I know it's stress. She said, I know it's stress. Getting in the habit of worrying is no plaything. And if it won't kill you physically, it will definitely put a wound on your soul. See, when we worry, we're not ourselves. You know, we don't feel like we want to feel. We don't love like we need to love. And even more than that, when we worry, worry is worship to the devil. Because when we worry, we take our focus off of the promises of God and we turn our attention to the lies of the devil. See, he gets in our minds. See, we know the truth and we read the truth, but when the devil gets in and starts saying, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? Or what if you go to the mailbox again and there's nothing there? See, we turn our mind away from the promises of God and start listening to the devil, who is the author of confusion. He is the father of lies, John 8 and verse 44. But when we worry, like I said, we're not ourselves. And so it not only affects us, but it affects those around you. And Paul had to deal with this also when he was in Philippi, and this is what he had told them. Picking up at verse 6, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now let's break this down, and we're going to, like I said, we're not going to be long, but Paul had already instructed the Christians at Philippi to rejoice.
Yes, sir.
So why did he have to go back and tell them not to worry? Again, Paul knew that trouble would turn their way again. Okay? And he knew this because that's simply the way trouble works. Well, why is that, preacher? That's because that's the way the devil works. And if you have a little trouble understanding that, let's look over at Matthew chapter 4, and let me make this a little bit clearer to you. But in Matthew chapter 4, we can understand just exactly what we mean when we say that's how the devil works. And we're talking about trouble, talking about temptation, however you want to put it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. And then here comes Satan. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now this is a passage that Brother Fitzgerald went to this morning, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but the point I'm trying to make is, you see how the devil came to him and presented to him a challenge, a temptation, and Jesus dealt with that. And then he came back, when you go into verse 5, 6, and 7, he presented him with another challenge. See, the devil doesn't give up that easy. And then after that, the Bible says again the devil came to him. So when we talk about trouble coming back your way, it's simply because that's how the devil works. He has nothing but time on his hands to figure out ways to get us down. So in this passage, and the point I'm trying to make, this isn't just instruction. This instruction that Paul was giving the church at Philippi is not just instruction for now. It wasn't just instruction for that time, but it's instruction for how we are to live out the rest of our lives. Amen. Because, as we said, the devil is busy, and if he doesn't get you this time, you can best believe he will be coming back for you. But Paul says, don't worry about anything.
Yes, sir.
Let me let Jesus help you a little bit. Back over in Matthew, look at chapter 6 this time. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Still here, pages turning, and that's a good thing. But in Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." And he asks, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And he goes on to say in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And he asks, are you not more valuable than they? And I like verse 27, because to me this sums it up. But he says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? Which one of us in here by worrying can make any difference in any of the situations in our lives? See, what we have to realize is that God is in control and God is still on the throne.
Yes, sir.
But not only that, I want you to drop down to verse number 32 and look at the B part of that verse in that same chapter, Matthew 6. Jesus goes on to say, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But verse 33 lets us know what the problem is. See, oftentimes we don't have our priorities in line when we go to God in prayer. We go to God in prayer about things that we feel are important, not things that are in line with God's word. So Jesus has to help us out here. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Amen.
That's a concept we have a hard time grasping. Because see, there's this thing called selfishness.
Tragic.
And there's this thing called pride, which we're going to get into in just a moment. But we have this way about us to where we want what we want when we want it. And we expect God to operate on our timetable. But I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But I like the way he ends this off in verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, you got enough to worry about today. So the bottom line, Jesus said in verse 27, he's basically saying worrying is pointless. He said you can't change anything.
Amen.
So if you have some concerns, and we all do at times, I'm not going to sit here and act like we don't. You know, that's just how life goes, and that's in our human nature. But when we neglect the resource that we have in God's word, when we neglect the resource that we have through prayer, we're setting ourselves up for destruction. He says you need to go to God in prayer and in supplication in verse 6, back in Philippians now. We need to go to God in prayer and in supplication. And that word supplication is referring to humbly making your plea to God. And then he says with thanksgiving. See, God is not just someone we can put our order into, and if he gives us what we want, then it's fine and dandy. But then when he doesn't give us what we think we want, then we say, well, God didn't hear us. And we go to doubting God. But see, it's really, like I said, it's not God who's got his priorities mixed up. It's us. Okay? But again, another issue that we have, like I said, is pride. Oftentimes, we don't want to humble ourselves to the will of God. And see, and until we grasp that concept, until we grasp that concept that we have to seek God's will first. I mean, just imagine, let me put it in your vernacular here. Just imagine your kids coming to you and saying, "Mama, I want this," or "Mama, I want that," or "Daddy, I want this and I want that." And they expect it. They expect you to give it to you to give it to them right then and there. But then you start thinking, "Well, I thought I told you to clean that room up 2 or 3 days ago." So you get to rethinking, you know, what you were just about to present them with just because they asked for it. And you got to say, "Well, no, we can't go there yet because there's some things that you passed up that I asked you to do." But it's the same way we do with God. See, we want to be able to skip Sunday service 2 or 3 times a month, and we want to go all day and all night without opening up God's word, and we want to continue to receive his blessings without ever stopping to say thank you, and we expect him to consider to continue to sit there and give us handouts. And then when someone stands before us and say, "We need to humble ourselves," see, that's when pride gets in the way. Why do I need to humble myself? You know. We need to not only humble ourselves, but we need to go to God in prayer and be thankful for what we ask for, even before we see the answer to our prayers.
Amen.
Why? Because whether or not he gives us what we want, he's going to give us what we need. That's one of the promises in God's word. See, just like those young children, we're not always concerned about what we really need, or we're not in tune to what we really need. We're more concerned about what we want or what we think we want. But see, there are some things that we think we want that we're just not ready for. And that's why I'm glad I serve a God that knows me better than I know myself, because I would have self-destructed a long time ago if he gave me everything that I asked for. So regardless of whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm lacking, I can still say God is good. All the time.
Yes, sir.
But the truth of the matter is, he didn't have to pay us any attention in the first place. God doesn't owe us anything. For we were lost in sin. Until he sent forth his one and only begotten Son. We're forever in debt to God based on that one fact alone. So if you have concerns, take them to the Lord in prayer and thank him in advance, because even though he may not come when you want to, God is always on time.
Yes, sir.
His timing is always perfect. And I tell people all the time, God is not concerned about time. God is concerned about timing. He's more concerned about it being the right time than the amount of time that it took. Well, the problem we have is when we go to God in prayer, "Lord, it's been 2 years, and I'm still waiting on a husband. Lord, it's been 5 months, and I haven't got one call back about a job. Lord, my son is 23 years old, and he still won't act right." See, we want to put God on our own timetable. And we do the same thing with people. But more importantly, we want to put God on our own time. God is not concerned about time. He's concerned about timing. And like we said, his timing is always perfect. You may not understand how God does what he does and why he does it the way he does. But this is what I like about verse 7. Bible says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." See, we may wonder why, when we're waiting on an answer from God and we're still in the midst of suffering and going through things. But what are you doing? What are you doing during that time of suffering? Are you sitting around pacing the floor, beating your head up against the wall, and why is the Lord answering my prayers? What are you doing with your time? What you need to be doing is what it said in verse 6, being thankful. You need to be worshiping. There was a song I heard while I was watching a movie, and the chorus was saying, worship while you wait. That's a very difficult concept to grasp. Here I am in the midst of suffering and going through things, and there's pressure all upon me, and my back is up against the wall, but yet and still, I'm supposed to be thankful and worship. Why is that? Why should I even consider that? Well, let me let James help you out in James 1. He said, count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations, knowing that what you're going through produces patience. See, a lot of us are lacking in that area of patience. And God knows this. This is why he lets us go through things. But it's through trials that we mature spiritually.
Amen.
See, sometimes God has to leave us on the hot seat a little bit longer because we still haven't learned our lesson yet. Again, we're just like children oftentimes. You know, it's like the little child that you're walking and you're holding their hand, and they get to a certain point in their life, they want to start pulling away. And you try to hold on. No, you're going to fall. But they're so eager to get away and be independent. I want to run. I want to be free. We do the same thing with God. See, when things start going a little better for us, and we get a little money in the bank account, and our job seems steady, and our family is doing well, and our kids are doing well. See, we want to break away from God. Okay, God, I think I got it from here. That's the worst mistake you can ever make.
Amen.
Is letting go of the unchanging hand of God.
Perfect.
But as I said when I started, in order to rejoice, we got to be able to fully trust God. We got to be able to fully put our trust in him. And like I said, that's difficult to do, especially with the way things are going on. But as I stated in verse 7, it says the peace of God. God can give you a peace that even though you're in the midst of a storm, even though you're in the midst of a trial, even though your job security is on the line, or even though your health is dwindling, or even though your bank account is down to nothing, God can give you a peace.
Amen.
That will make people ask you when you go back to work, how is it that you're able to walk in here with a smile on your face? I mean, you don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow.
Amen.
And you know what you can tell them? I trust God.
Amen.
I trust God. Well, how is it that you know, you're not concerned, you're not worried about where you're going to get this or how you're going to do that? I trust God.
Yes, sir.
And when people see that light inside of you, they'll want to know what you know about God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So when we go out, and even though we're in the midst of our trial, and we still let people know, I'm trusting in God, we're lifting him up right then and there. And that's going to let people know. So we got to not go around talking about how we're Christians and how we're Church of Christ, this and that, you know. See, we can go around talking about it all day long, and then our attitude and our character display something totally contradicted to what we're saying. And see, that's when people shy away from us. But when we let our actions, see, God, and that's another thing, God's not concerned about what we're out there portraying ourselves to be. Oh, yeah, I go to Curd Road Church of Christ. I go to Hart Street Church of Christ. But all along, God is looking at your heart. and according to your heart. You couldn't be more further away from God. Do you trust God this evening? Do you want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding?
Yes, sir.
The peace that will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
God's peace can give you such a divine tranquility that frees you from all worries and all concerns. There may be someone here tonight, and I said I was going to be considerate of your time, and I'm closing here, but there may be someone here tonight who's tired of worrying. Tired of worrying and seeing that worrying is not getting them anywhere.
Amen.
Well, I stand before you tonight and say, just to say that God says you don't have to worry. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all your cares upon the Lord.
Yes, sir.
For he cares for you.
Amen.
Maybe it's that you don't know God. See, in order, that's another thing. That's another prerequisite to being able to trust God and being able to rejoice. You got to get to know him. You're not going to put your trust in someone that you don't know.
Amen.
That's why being Christian or no Christian, that's why being here is so very vital and so very important. That's why being in Sunday school and in Bible class and everything in between, anytime the church doors are open, that's why it's so vitally important.
Amen.
See, the more you come to know God, the more you can call upon him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But see, when we drift away, when we don't come in here, we don't study God's word, we start to become like that sheep that's inching his way away from the flock.
Tragic, sir.
And before you know it, he's over here in the corner all by himself, and now he's vulnerable.
Tragic, sir.
See, we get all caught up in ourselves, in our own situations. Well, I don't want to go to church because somebody's going to look at me funny.
Tragic, sir.
Or somebody, so-and-so, is going to be talking about me because they know I'm going through this or I'm going through that. You're inching away. You're inching away from the flock.
Yeah.
And see, who's telling you that? Telling you that the devil's setting you up. He's just like that wolf. He's setting you up so he can pounce on you and devour you and destroy you. But I want to encourage you tonight, if you've been burdened down with worry and concern, God says you don't have to. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And as I said, if you don't know God, we'll be glad to sit down with you and share God with you so that you can know him. And once you know him, then you can obey him. And once you obey him, you'll give your life to him and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or maybe it is that you already are a Christian and you're still burdened down by the cares of this world. That's another good reason to come to church. And I like what Brother Fitzgerald says oftentimes. He said, if you don't come to church for anything else, come and be prayed for.
Amen.
For the prayers of the righteous avail much.
Yes,
if you're here tonight and you need prayer, come and we'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.
Long time we'll stand before the judgment of the quick, the risen day.